Driving through Texas, a New Yorker collided with a truck carrying a horse. A few months later, he wanted to collect on the damages from his insurance company, but the adjuster said, "How can you now claim to have all these injuries? According to the police report, at the time, you said you were not hurt." "Well, look," replied the New Yorker, "I was lying on the road in a lot of pain, and I heard someone say that the horse had a broken leg. And next, there was the Texas Ranger with his gun, and he shot and he killed the horse. And then he turned to me and asked, 'Are you okay?'" There are times in our lives when, like this New Yorker, we deny our suffering because we are afraid to face it. How often can people go through years of their lives where they're dealing with deep suffering and pain, but they deny it, they ignore it, they push it away? But then, when people are able to begin to face and confront their suffering with courage and honesty, something can happen in our lives. We move away from saying, "Why does God allow this to happen to me?" And we come more and more into the place where we see the opportunity for our suffering to be transformative. There was a businessman who had been very successful, but in the recession, he lost his job, a sizable fortune, and his beautiful home. Added to this, his precious wife died as well. One day he was out trying to look for work, and he came by a construction site where they were doing restoration on a church. And one of the masons had a stone, and he was chiseling it into a certain shape. And this man said, "What are you doing with that stone?" "Well," he said, "look up at the steeple. And do you see that little opening that's just below the steeple? I'm shaping the stone down here so that it can fit up there. I'm shaping the stone down here so that it can fit up there." It's been said that a clay pot sitting in the sun will always be a clay pot. It has to go through the white heat of the furnace in order to become porcelain. So often it is through our suffering that we are being shaped down here to fit up there. I know some of you listening to me today are going through a time where it seems that your whole life is an experience of unrelenting shaping, and you're saying, "Enough already, God, enough." Today, the theme of human suffering, whereby we are invited to give voice to the magnitudes of its sheer reality, is what is on expression in our first reading from the book of Job. Here we have one of the most articulate expressions of what it is like for us as human beings to suffer. And I want to read the passage again, but in language that is a bit more contemporary, a little bit more in your face. "Human life is a struggle, isn't it? It's a life sentence to hard labor, like field hands longing for quitting time and working stiffs with nothing to hope for but payday. I'm given a life that meanders and goes nowhere. Months of aimlessness, nights of misery. I go to bed and think, how long until I get up? I toss and turn as the night drags on, and I am fed up. I'm covered with maggots and scabs. My skin gets scaly and hard, then oozes with pus. My days come and go swifter than the clicking of knitting needles. And then the yarn runs out. An unfinished life." Did you know that that's in the Bible? Have you ever felt like Job? Been in that place, or perhaps you're in that place right now where the pain seems to be a life sentence, where one day we will then just expire. Job was there. And one of the things we know about Job, if we read earlier on, this is chapter 7, if we read in the first part of the book of Job, we read that he was the most righteous man in all the world. He was a man of such godliness. Then his children were killed. He lost his land. And he then experiences a life-altering illness. And as you read through the book of Job, the question is asked, why, why? And there does seem to be a long silence where there is no seeming answer forthcoming to Job's cries. And he says, it's like life is a sentence of hard labor. There's a musician that I was just introduced to this last week. Her name is Sarah Groves, and she wrote a song entitled Enough. And in this song, there is a chorus that has these words. She talks about how life is filled with patches of joy and stretches of sorrow. Life filled with patches of joy and stretches of sorrow. Yes, there is joy, there is beauty in life. But it seems that there are these long stretches of suffering and sorrow. Something that we see in Job where he says, I go to bed, I can't wait until it's morning, but then night seems to drag on and on and on, and life seems to be someone knitting, and then there's no wool left, and the sweater is incomplete. It's important for us to hear scriptures like this. Because this is part of the reality of being human. And one of the realities of being the church is this should be the community where most readily people can be honest like Job. Because our scriptures are honest. That it's in this community that with St. Paul, we recognize that we have a gospel that is an unchanging message. But in order for people to hear the gospel, they need to know of our compassionate heart. That I became all things to all people, said Paul, that I may win some. That doesn't mean he changed his message in order to fit whatever the audience needed to hear. But no, he recognized where they were, and he met them there. And this is what we see in today's gospel. As Jesus is coming to the home of Simon Peter, who does have a mother-in-law, but I cannot talk this evening about what does all of that mean. I thought the Pope was supposed to be celibate. That will be a homily for another day. But for now, what we want to focus on is this, that when Jesus comes into his home and he takes Simon's mother-in-law by the hand and raises her up, it's the same verb used in Mark's gospel to refer to the resurrection. And so what this is trying to tell us is the following. With something as regular and ordinary as the common flu bug, Jesus comes in, touches, and raises her up. Because what the gospel wants us to see is Jesus interacts with our lives where we are truly living. In that place of ordinary human illness and experience. And it is this reality. It is this experience, it is this kind of presence that we as the church are called to embody in a world that is becoming increasingly confused, increasingly disorientated, and increasingly either ignoring God completely or thinking that he is silent. And so, may we keep in mind two things. In that first reading, we have a beautiful example from the Old Testament on the reality of human misery, which has its good news in the answer that is in Jesus Christ. But you might be saying, whoa, hold on, Father. Like, in that story, the mother-in-law was healed, and then she was able to serve Jesus and all the others. I've been struggling with an illness for months, years, or I know someone who is, and I don't seem to have experienced that kind of healing. Well, maybe we continue to pray. May we continue to seek to be a church, because part of what it means to be the church in the 21st century is to be a church that does continue to pray for people and to be able to see more and more of signs and wonders that was part of the New Testament period and needs to be, I think, more in part of our age, because without the power of the gospel, the word of the gospel will fall on deaf ears. But along with that, we need to appreciate a slide that's going to go up on the screen now that has a quotation from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. Let me read this. "Moved by so much suffering," says our catechism, "Christ not only allows himself to be touched by the sick, but he makes their miseries his own. He took our infirmities and bore our diseases, but he did not heal all the sick. His healings were a sign of the coming of the kingdom of God. They announced a more radical healing, the victory over sin and death through his Passover. On the cross, Christ took upon himself the whole weight of evil and took away the sin of the world, of which illness is only a consequence. By his passion and death on the cross, Christ has given a new meaning to suffering. It can henceforth configure us to him and unite us with his redemptive passion." And this is the last point. Apart from Jesus, suffering is ultimately meaningless. Apart from his death and resurrection, well, if we're suffering, why don't we kill ourselves? Because there is no other meaning. But with the gospel, with the truth of what our catechism says, Jesus does give new meaning to suffering as we are configured more and more to him. And so, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we are Catholic Christians. And one of the things that our great tradition understands is how our suffering, enjoined with Christ's suffering, can give us a purpose and meaning in the present that allows us to go through this valley of tears where we taste the drudgery and the misery of which Job spoke. But in the midst of this suffering, in the midst of that sickness, we always remember that Christ is the ultimate victor. Christ is the ultimate savior. And Christ is the divine physician who one day, whether in this life or the next, will heal us. Remember what I said at the beginning. A clay pot sitting in the sun will always be a clay pot. And we kind of live in an age where we just want to sit in the sun. We want it to be easy. But it's not. It's not. That pot has to go through the white heat of the furnace in order to become porcelain. And when we have more and more of this perspective, we can discover that our suffering is allowing us to be shaped down here so that you and I will fit up there. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is, for you and for me, good news.